that wants to come up in Logan County in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, that you said in your word, God, that you were going to pour out your Spirit on all flesh. And God, in Jesus' name, I release the Holy Spirit up in this service right now. God, I yield myself to you right now, God, to have your way in here, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that the boundaries right now, God, Satan's boundaries are being torn down up in this place. God, addiction is being bound up. God just said you needed a binder, and God just said you needed a looser. God, I loose the Holy Spirit all up in here this morning. God, I loose who you are. God, I loose the healing power of what you are. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, for the person that's been walking up in depression, God, this week, God, I ask that you would speak to their heart right now, God. Lord, I thank you for healing and God, and giving them a peace. Lord, a peace that passes all understanding. God, to guard their hearts and God, to guard their mind, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about what God's going to do. I'm excited about what he's doing up in this church, what he's doing in this city, what he's doing up in the lives of people. And let me tell you something, I believe that the devil has set out snares for people to trip on. I'm going to tell you what God's been telling me, service after service after service. Kelly, bind up the hindrance of people. See these seats right here? These seats ought to be full. Let me tell you something. God is going to draw the hearts of men and women like he's never done before up in this county. Because look here, men and women of God are manning up. They're womaning up. They're saying, you know what, God, it's not about how I feel. God, I'm going to go to your house. God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to preach your name. Look here, preaching just ain't the pastor's thing. You know how you preach? You live out your life. You live out your life to the best of your ability, and you stuff God right up in the middle of every part of it you can get him up in. Amen. Now, we are in an awesome series in the book of Nehemiah. The title of this message this morning is called Rise Up and Build. Rise up and build. Look here. Get up out of that thing that you've been living in, even if it's been good. Even if it's been good, look here, it can always get better. God's saying, get up, because I've got something for you. You can't even begin to imagine, but you got to get up. You got to get yourself moving. You got to get that adrenaline going, because look here, Aunt Sharon, there's lots of stuff that God ain't even unveiled for his kids. We got to get ourselves up off the couch. Amen. We got to get ourselves up off of defeated depression. We got to get ourselves up out of the seat of feeling sorry for ourselves. This week has been a good week, but it's been a trying week. At one point, I just shut off all the lights in my house, and I just sat up there in the dark. What was I doing? I was having myself a pity party. Now look here. If the pastor can get up and say, I had a pity party to the point, I just shut off all the lights and I really indulged myself. Look here, you ain't going to get a bunch of lying up in here with me preaching. Look, I'm going to tell you the truth. Pity parties will come and they need to go. And they need to go. See, we got to get that crap out. Yes, I said crap. We got to get it out. There ain't no room for that. Ain't no room for that pity. There's room for God. There's God. There's room for God to move. There's room for God to heal. But when can he do that if you're sitting up in the dark, up in your house, feeling sorry for yourself? See, this is the very conversation I had to have with myself. And that's why I'm having it with you. Because, see, I trust if something's going on in my life, I can trust that it's probably going to go on in your life at some point. Why? Because, see, God hasn't called me to lie from that pulpit. Not that I ever stand behind it. But God ain't calling me to lie when I'm marching up on these aisles. He's called me to speak truth. Why? Because truth always sets people free. It always does. See, if men and women of God would stand up for God and they would say, you know what? Look here, many trials I've had. I've had a lot of trials, but I'm still standing. See, it's only when we try to look like we perfect. got no trouble. No. No, look here, be real. You got troubles. Probably got more than you know what to deal with. Keep it real with yourself. Why? Because the moment you do, you also keep it real that in the fact that in Genesis it said you got dominion. Now you take it. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 8. And it says, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Look here. Being unfaithful to God is never going to help you. Being unfaithful to His house is never going to help you. Going on 10-year vacations from God is never going to help you. Taking a hiatus from God because you're mad at Him, because you think that He done something to you. Look here. God ain't done nothing to you. God ain't done nothing to you but be good to you. Why am I preaching on this? Because lots of folks are mad at God. Lots of folks want to have an excuse, and then they pin that on a pastor. Well, I don't like that pastor. Look here. You can't spit in Logan County without hitting a church or a beauty box. So let me tell you something. You don't like it, you don't stay up out of church. You get your butt in somewhere else, and you start being productive. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, what you're going to find out is a lot of times the problem lies in you. The problem lies in me. We got to keep it real with ourselves. I just told God this week, God, I'm just full of it, and I'm going to have this pity party because I've earned it. God, in Jesus' name, I'm going to have that pity party. God said, young lady, no, you ain't. You ain't going to have that pity party because look here. I've called you out by name. I've called you by name. I've done told you, Kelly, that you're the apple of my eye. I've done told you that I set you apart. Look here. You think people like that need to be having pity parties? No. God says the exact same thing about you. And I get to talk and I get too much saliva going on. God thinks the same thing about you. To the point He said, you know what? I love that person. That person right there, when somebody touches them, that's like touching the apple of my eye. They best not touch them. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. And you got to know what He's called you to do. Every single person in this room has a calling on their life. I'm not the preacher that's going to act like I'm the only one called to do something. I'm the one that's probably going to tell you, look here, you better walk in your calling because your calling's probably greater than mine. Now, come on now, Sally Sue. Get your butt up. Let's get you onto your calling because, look here, lives are hanging in the balance when we're having these pity parties. Lives are hanging in the balance. I know I'm outrageous. Look, we're living in the last days. God needs all kinds of folks, I'm telling you. He does. And I'm all kinds, I tell you. And it says, remember the instructions that you gave your servant Moses, saying if you're unfaithful, that you would scatter us among the nations. And look here, sometimes when we're unfaithful to God, our lives get scattered all over the place. All over the place. We take an inventory of our life and we're going, oh my God, that one act of stupidity has got this part of my life up over here, part of it's over there, part of it's over here. You can't afford to be unfaithful to God. You can't afford to taste of the Lord and see that He's good. And the problem with tasting of God and seeing that He's good is you can never go back and quite be as happy as you was when you was messing up. Because you done tasted God. You done know that God is good. And see, that sin that we do after the fact that we know that it's not quite as enjoyable. See, because we've tasted of God and we know that He's real. We've tasted of God and we know that He's awesome. And that's why sin gets so hard to stop. Because on one hand, we remember that the old part of us likes it. But on the other hand, we remember that, you know what? Man, God is the only thing that's never left me. God is the only thing that's held my back. God's the only thing that held me up when I thought I was going to fall. And see, sin becomes less and less desirable for many people. because they've tasted of God and they've seen that he's good. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to be unfaithful to God, your life is going to be scattered out. It just is. That ain't me up here whiplashing you. That's me reading the Bible and telling you, look, you're going to do A, you're going to get B, and then you're going to end up with C. It's like 2 plus 2. It's going to always equal 4. Okay? And it says, but God, you also said that you would gather them from there and bring them to the place, God, if I made it right. God, you said you would scatter us all over the place. But you also said, God, in your word, that if we came back to you, you would gather us up. Let me tell you something. When you come back to God, he's not sitting there waiting to whack you over the head because you messed up. When you come back to God, he's sitting there and he's over here and he's saying, I'm going to pick up this piece for you. See, it got scattered. When you come back to the Lord, he is right where you left him. Where did you leave him? Yeah, he's going to pick up another piece of your life. Why? Because that is who God says that he is. See, God is not this person where he's mad at you and he's looking to punish you all the time. That is not God. God's the one in your corner saying, look here, I got to send a laborer to that person. That person needs me. They need my son. They need the blood of Jesus to wash up over that so they don't feel bad about that anymore. Now let's skip over for a moment to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 8. Because see, here's Nehemiah, and he was telling God, he was having a conversation with God, and he said, God, I know that you said if we were unfaithful to you, you were going to scatter us all up over the place. But God, I know that you also said you would gather us up. Now look here, there is nothing new under the sun. What God did for Nehemiah, he will do for you. What God did for Moses, he will do for you. What God did for Joshua, he will do for you. What God did for Ruth, he will do for you. What God did for anybody, he will do for you. Because God is no respecter of persons. And what we got, and it's terrible to say, but I am the one that speaks the truth. Look here up in this place, and we got lots of people, even up in the ministry, in the church world today, and they acting like they better than everybody else. Let me tell you, ain't nobody better than you. Now, I got another little kicker for you. Y'all probably better than me. But you ain't going to catch me up here acting like I'm better than you, because let me tell you something, I'm not. And if God can get you to believe who he says that you are, you're going to be on your way. You're going to be on your way when you believe that God says, hey, you got this. You believe that? Amen. See, that's what it's going to take. So Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, but what does it say? The word is near to you. The word is near to you. See, what does God's word say to you? What does God's word say about you? Because whatever it is, it's near to you. The word of God is near to you. See, you got to quit acting like this thing is something far off. No, it's near to you. It's right by you. God is with you. The words that he said are with you. They're near to you. It is in your mouth and it's in your heart. And that is the word of faith that we're proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, you're going to be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Look here, nobody can justify you but the living God. We got too much time wrapped up in defending and trying to justify all of our stuff that everybody's talking smack about. Look here. Give it a break. Give that a break. Look here, Facebook don't need to see you defending yourself. Facebook needs to either one of two things, not see you at all or see you glorifying God, because there's way too much trash up on Facebook. And I know that because I'm a Facebook stalker. I like to know what's going on with people, and people put too much of their stuff on there. We can't be doing that. Some of it cracks me up, though. Jericho, we need to unfriend that person. I'm going, no, we don't. Cher? First of all, I'm nosier than you. And second of all, where am I going to get that free entertainment? You can't even go to the movies and get that kind of stuff. I mean, some of this stuff I'm going, I need to call NBC and tell them we've got a real, their next storyline right up in here in Logan County with this stuff. They need to make me the producer. I'll be the narrator of that. But, see, God's the only one that can justify you. He's the only one that can really defend you. But see, the devil likes to get you in a perpetual state where you are defending yourself, where you feel like you have to justify yourself, where you feel like you have to give up every reason why you did what you did or why you said what you said. Look here, you don't got to justify yourself. If you'll move up out of the way, God will shut the mouths of some folks. Problem is, we're flapping our mouth. I'm the worst one, by the way. I got something up in me. I don't even know what it is, Brenda. And I'm not telling you it's right. I'm just telling you it's in there. See? Somebody says something I don't like. Look here, that little in the dark thing on Friday afternoon, that was just a timeout for me. Yeah, I was having a pity party, but that was like saying, Kelly, timeout. You about to go one toke over the line. Look here. I'm not going to stand up and tell you I ain't got no flesh problems. I got flesh problems. I like to get straight up fleshy. But look here. I know it. Problem is you get people and they're like, right as rain. I don't got a problem with that flesh. No, you better own that. You better own it and you better know it. Why? So you can get up out of that denial that you're living in. And it says, if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you're going to be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. See, that's the only way you're getting justification. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference. And what this is saying here is this. Look here. We all folks. That's why it's very important that you don't compare yourself to other people. You don't compare yourself. See, God's always telling me, Kelly, look here, don't compare Parish Christian Center with any other church in this county. I'm doing something up in here. I ain't doing with any other place. Look here, I'm not dissing anybody else. I'm just saying that there's a direction for this church. He's probably telling all those other pastors the same thing. Why? Because any time that you feel like you're in competition with somebody, that's probably a good concoction for you to want to slight your neighbor just to fill one more pew. Look here. I'm looking to fill one more spot in heaven. And I got news for everybody about true evangelism. True evangelism is not picking folks up out of churches where they're planted. True evangelism is you go hit them streets. You go talk to that person that looks like they're alone in the grocery store. And you figure out that, hey, they ain't going nowhere. And you're going to evangelize to them. See, this community, I'm getting more and more in the thick of it, and this community is full of people that are on their way to hell. They need somebody to step in. They need somebody that's called. They need somebody that's going to put their stuff to the side and say, God, where do you want me to be today? Here, God, tell me. God, enlighten me. Where do you want me? See? Church hopping, that ain't going to get you nowhere. I know this is outrageous. I know. I get it. I'm an outrageous person. That's probably why God called me, because Mama Kay, at the end of the day, God knows Kelly will say whatever it takes. It's hard truth. And the best part of this verse is, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, they're going to be saved. whosoever calls on the name of God will be saved. Look here, when Nehemiah was saying, God, I know you said if we were unfaithful to you, you were going to scatter us. But God, you also said in your word that if we would call upon you, if we would make that right, if we would repent for that and turn from our wicked ways, God, you said in your words you would gather us. God, you said in your words, you would gather my life. God, you said in your words, you would put my life back together. And God, I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever that's calling on your name. God, I need you. See, what have you heard all year this far? Call on Jesus and get in your Bible. See, that's what you've been hearing, because that's what it takes when you get yourself in a moment. Call on God. Why? Because it says that when whosoever calls on me, I'm going to save them. A lot of people think, man, I got saved when I was 7 years old. That's it. Look here. I get saved every day. And I need to be saved every day. God saves me from some real shenanigans I get myself up into when I stick my foot in my mouth. When I have a moment and I let that flesh do what it wants to, and then I'm regretful. See? But God is no respecter of persons. And he said, look here, if you'll call on my name, I'm going to save you. Throughout your life, he's saving you over and over again. And he's looking for you to pick him every day. Every day. See, are you going to pick him? Are you going to pick the problem? Are you going to pick him? Are you going to pick that worry? Are you going to pick him? Are you going to pick that doubt and unbelief? See, are you going to pick his word over what the bank says that you can have and what you can't have? Look here, I'm not up here glorifying me because I don't believe in that. But when God tells you something, you take it to the bank. I was trying to get a loan a few weeks ago. Called up one bank. They were like, ah, we don't do stuff like that. I'm like, you ain't my type of bank. Look here, I'm a feisty little chick. When I'm told no, that is like a challenge. On to the next phone call. Because see, I already know what God told me to do with these finances. Okay, you obviously ain't what I'm looking for. I had a car one time that blew up with me in it. They said, we ain't going to give you a new car. We're going to fix that one, and it's going to be like normal. Look here, I'm a blonde-headed woman, but here's one thing that I know. And it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. When they go to taking them bolts, Timmy, and they go to removing your engine, and they get to messing with stuff up in there, and they're telling you everything's going to be like it was, I don't trust that. I'm thinking, no, I don't want you done doing the bolts of my engine and taking that engine out and then putting a new one in, and then I'm still paying for the thing that you're telling me is new. No, that is messed up, and I want something really brand new. I mean, I want a vehicle with a motor that ain't been yanked out because y'all messed it up and you blew it up when you gave me an oil change. See, that's what I want. They're going, we ain't giving you that. And I said, oh, yes, you are. See, you don't know me. I'm persistent. I fought with them for 2 weeks telling me no. Look here. You got to get a grip on what God told you you could have, because nobody told you it was going to be easy to get it. So stop whining around when you have a little adversity. Look here, the last day of that gig, I was sitting at my desk at work, and Gina, I just started crying because I was thinking, now, God, I really thought I heard you tell me they were going to do this. You tell me what to do, God. You want me to give in to this mess? I'll do it, because right now I'm weary of fighting with these folks. I've fought with them every day for 2 weeks. I was sitting there laid back, crying. God, just tell me what to do. He said, Kelly, once again, you tell them that you want a new vehicle, and you stick with that. My sales rep guy, he was named Happy. He was not happy the whole 2 weeks he had to mess with me. Look here, by the time of that was over, I wasn't very happy either. he called me, Happy called me, and I said, I just got done having my crying attack where the Lord told me to just keep on keeping on. And I said, okay, Lord. Happy calls, Kelly. They're just not going to do that because they've never done that before, ever. And this dealership has been open for like 30 years. DJ, I didn't skip a heartbeat. I said, look here, Happy. You're going to give me a new vehicle, period. Don't call me back until you tell me that. I don't want no more calls from you till you got the news that I want to hear. Now, look here. At that moment when God was speaking to me when I was sitting at my desk, Melissa, I was very prepared to just say, oh, whatever. God said, no. You're going to get what I told you you can have. Now, you quit whining around because you're having a little adversity right up in there. Look here, you ain't always going to hear yes the first time. God ain't always going to reveal to you the big thing he's going to do, and then you don't ever have a trouble getting there. Why? Because trials and tribulation, they fall on the just, and they fall on the unjust. That's why. There's a devil up in this world, and see, he don't like what you're doing, so he's constantly trying to rob you from what God's done told you you could have, and we let him do this because we get a little concerned because somebody told us no. Look here, that should be a challenge to you. If God told you yes, you don't take no for an answer. The problem is when you're still fighting and God did what God ain't in that. I've done that too. I fought battles God wasn't up in. That's why I'm telling you this whole year, the common theme of the whole year is call out to God, read your Bible, and get to a place in your life where you can hear the word of God and what he's telling you to do. Because, Melissa, when we can't hear from God, we don't know what we're standing on because we don't know what he told us that we could have and what he didn't say we couldn't have. We got to know. Because when the going gets tough and the tough gets going, we got to know, okay, God, you said I could have it. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. See? That's why you've got to know God. It's not enough to just know God through your pastor. I'm not Jesus Christ. That's no epiphany to y'all. Y'all know that. But see here, I'm going to constantly refer you back to him. Get to know him. Get to know him better than you've ever known him before. See, because that's what it's going to take to get you where you want to go. So, yeah, here's Nehemiah, and he's saying, God, you said that you would help us. God, you said in your word that you would gather us up. Look here. He repeated back to God what God told him he would do. When you get up in the middle of your battle, see, and God's told you he was going to do that, and you get all wishy-washy because it's involving your family or whatever, look here. Whatever God told you. God, I thank you that you told me that you've got my family. God, I thank you in your word that you told me that you healed me. God, I thank you in your word that you told me that every need shall be met. God, I thank you. See, every time I come up in here, Diana, I see the vision that God gave me, and I say, God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Lord, that this place is full with the people that you want up in here, God, the people that you draw up in here, God, and Lord, and then I look at the stage, and then I start saying, God, thank you for the piano player. God, thank you for the drum player. God, thank you. See, every time these kids go back to their class, see, in my heart of hearts, I'm saying, God, I'm standing on what you told me you were going to do. What did God tell Pastor Kelly? God told me I would be up here ministering. I wouldn't even be able to see the wall for the people back up in here. That's how full this place is going to be. But look here. God's the one that can draw that. I just need to know what God said he was going to do. Why? So I can prepare. So I can prepare. How do I prepare? Well, I start telling folks, look here, you got to serve your church and you got to volunteer because look here, I can't watch all these kids. Nuh-uh. I go to prison for something like that. I barely can handle my own two. Most of the time I'm like, Mama Brenda, you're going to have to help me. Brother Larry, let's go outside. We got to talk to Colton again for the 17th time. Look here. We're going to get prepared. And it says, we're back in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 10. And it says, they are your servants and your people who you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. See, God's redeemed you. Not by what you have, not by your strength, not by your mighty hand, but see, by His. He's redeemed you because of who He is, because of His strength, not anything to do with how great or ungreat that you are. See, I hear a lot of people, and they're upset about their life, and they're saying, if I would have done better, if I would have been better, if I would have made better decisions, if I would have done this, and if I would have done that. It's too late for that. Really? It don't have a lot to do with you when it comes to a certain point. It has a lot to do with God. What does God say about you? Because at the end of the day, only God can unscramble them eggs and all that stuff that we mess up. But He does it better than anybody, to the point we don't even realize that stuff was ever messed up to begin with when He gets done. And so, thank you, Sam. He says that we're redeemed. Now, I'm going to take you through very briefly here a little bit about Nehemiah. See, the walls of Jerusalem that were once great were in shambles. Nehemiah was brokenhearted about that because that's where his roots were. That's where his ancestors were buried at. That was his home. And here's Nehemiah, and he's a cupbearer to the king, which means, it's amazing how they land these jobs up in the Bible. The cupbearer means he was the one pouring the wine for the king. He said, on this day of this month, I was the cupbearer for the king, and here I am pouring his wine. And the king takes a good look at Nehemiah, and he goes, man, you're looking depressed. You look sad, and I've never seen you like how you're looking. What's up, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah goes, well, king, I am sad and I am depressed because the place where my ancestors are from, the place where they're buried, the place where my roots are, it's all in shambles. The enemy done come up in there and broke down our wall and destroyed where I am from, destroyed the roots where I am. Look here. Sometimes we're looking at our life and there's things at the very core of who we are, and they done got messed up. And when we start looking at them, we upset. Now, the king had the authority to do one of two things. He had the authority to say, Nehemiah, now suck it up and get over it. You're staying here. Or he had the authority and the means to say, Nehemiah, I don't like seeing you sad. I don't like seeing you depressed. And here's what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to send you back to take care of that. And I'm going to send you with some people. I'm going to send you with some letters so you can get to where you need to go and not be killed while you're going. See, and that's what the king did. He sent him to go rebuild. When you look up in Nehemiah, what you're going to see is God's unfailing ability to help rebuild. See, that's what God is all about, rebuilding. Amen. And so this king sends Nehemiah out, sent him with some things that he needed, sent him with some men, sent him with those letters. And Nehemiah begins to tell people, he says, and because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted what I asked for. See, when you're down in the dumps and you're looking at your life and you're going, ugh. What we got to learn how to do is say, you know what? The gracious hand of God has gotten me through every single time. The gracious hand of God is what caused this thing to turn around. See, there's too many wham-wham going around and not enough praise going around, and things ain't getting done. I will enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving. You can't enter the presence of God being backwards and broken up and disgusted like God thinks you less than. He don't want that. He wants you to know who you are and say, God, I'm into your courts right now, and God, I thank you for turning this thing around. God, I thank you, God, for everything that you've done up to this point. God, I thank you that you've got it handled. God, I'm praising you right now. See, a lot of times we get things backwards, and we think, well, you praise God after he does the thing for you that you're needing him to do. Let me tell you something. You praise him all up in the thing. When you needing him to come through, you begin to praise him for what he's coming through on. God, I thank you that you done took care of that family member. God, I thank you that you didn't let nothing happen to them. See, we have to thank God. You can't look at how things look. Ain't nothing what it looks like. Nothing. Nothing's what it looks like. And so then Nehemiah goes, and see, he still ain't told nobody but the king really what his plan was. So he gets all these folks, and they're going over there, and he gets to Jerusalem, and he takes him and a few men. See, and he kept that thing up in there. He knew what God told him he could do. The king done gave him the authority to do it. So Nehemiah, he just went on a little night excursion. Men love to do that. My dad does that all the time. They're like, oh, you need to stay up in your house. You need to not get out. There's a tornado coming. There's a rainstorm coming. It's snowing. Brother Angelo's like, that sounds like they're telling me to get out. Kelly, and then he's calling me, and I'm like, oh, man, I got kids. I get to get out, Matt. Well, here's Nehemiah, and men love to do that. He gets out, and he starts looking at that wall. And he starts seeing all the stuff that happened. Wall was just totally in shambles. Look here, a lot of times we get in our life, and we start looking around, and we see that a lot of our life is in shambles. We just parts broken off here, messed up this, there, this, and see, we see that thing that's just all broken up. Look here. God, I believe, like never before, is helping his kids rebuild. But you got to know, you got to have somebody that'll get in your lap on a Sunday morning and be like, here's how you do it. That's what you need. We don't need people behind a pulpit telling you and puffing you up and making you feel all whatever, ooshy-gooshy and warm and tingly on the inside, and then you go out and you're still messing up doing the same thing. You don't need that. What you need is somebody that just gets up and be like, we all got to quit messing up, pastor included, pastor first and foremost. So he goes, and Nehemiah says here in verse 11, he says, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men, and I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. Look here, God is putting things in the hearts of men and women, things that he wants to do up in Logan County for this time, for this time, for this time. See, when Jeremy and I first took this church over, I said, God, what are you trying to do here? He had me driving from one end of the county to the other, back and forth, and I kept trying to catch a vision. God, what are you trying to do? God, what do you want to do? God, tell me. He said, Kelly, I want you to go up into that county, and I want you to start tearing the devil's kingdom all apart. See, that ain't going to happen unless somebody just gets real. And it ain't just my job to do that. It's all of us, see? It's all of us. So he began, and he began to look around. Now in verse 17, boys, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17, he's done looked around. He saw everything was tore up. He didn't like it. He hadn't told nobody what God told him he had the authority to do yet, and he's about to just lay it on them. And that's what leaders do. They get along with God. God will tell him what he wants done, and he'll get everybody around, and he'll say, okay, here's what's going to happen. And that's what he did. He got them all around. He said, and I said to them, you see the trouble that we are in Jerusalem. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. And I'm here this morning and I'm telling you, look here. Look at Logan County. Look at Logan County, people. Look at everything that's going on. See, that God's sick of, and we got to get all together. We got to bind up together. Stop being all willy-nilly with each other. And we got to get together on this gig because look here, Logan County is God's. Logan County is not Satan's. It's God's. And it says, you see that the trouble that Jerusalem is in. And he says, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of God that was upon me and what the king had said to me. And all these people, they began to catch the vision that Nehemiah had caught. They began to catch it. What do they say, Dale? They said, Nehemiah? Let's rebuild. Let's build this thing. See, when you get people together serving God instead of how things look, when you get people together rebuilding for the Lord and not just appearances, not just to fill a pew, look here, God's going to move. God is going to move because, see, God ain't into numbers and he ain't against them. But what he's into is people saying, God, you show me what to go build and I'm going to go do it. Amen. Thank you, God. And they said, let's rebuild. And so they began this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. And they said, what are you doing? Look here, you're going to always have somebody that's making fun of the thing that God told you to do. Because it looks crazy. Some of the things God tells you to do look insane. Case in point, Noah. Building the ark, they're like, no. It's not going to rain so much you're going to need this big old thing. Oh, look here. It takes one person to hear from God to save humanity, all the animals. Look here. We're here today because of what Noah did. Now, whether you can get that in your noggin or not, I'm not sure. We're here today because of that one man heard from God and said, look here, I'm about to flood this earth. I'm sick of that. Noah said, okay, God, give me enough time to build this ark. See, God's going to do what he said. No doubt about it. He's going to do what he said to do. We'd be good if we jumped on that boat and said, God, what is my part? What is my part, Lord? Because you have a part. And that part isn't disqualified because you made some mistakes in your life. That part isn't disqualified because you did something you praying to God nobody ever finds out about. Let me tell you something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, everybody in this place better be saying so because you are the redeemed. God loves you so much that he sent his son to wash over all the stuff that you ashamed of. Look here. That stuff don't even exist no more. And we hung up over it. And God's wanting us to get to a place where we're like, you know what, look here, that thing that I did is not who I am. I am what I am because of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And so they had a little bit of spectators in these men, and they began to be ridiculed. And he says, "What?" They said, what are you doing? And are you rebelling against the king? Look here, the king's the one that told them they could go do that. And here's these three chumps, and they're going, whatever you're doing is ridiculous, and you're rebelling against the king. Yeah. Look here, you got to always have somebody that sees you finally doing what God told you to do, and they're going to be critical. Yeah. That's where the part of this message where I started off saying you don't got to answer all your critics. Amen. That's part of this message that you need to get and put up in your heart. Because right. You don't got to answer those critics. The only one that's justifying you is God himself. And if he said, you justified, I'll defend you, I'll provide for you, I'll protect you, you don't need nobody else. You don't need nobody else's approval, so stop wanting it. Wean yourself off of needing everybody's approval just so you can feel like you good. No, baby, you good on your own. You good with God. Don't be comparing. God just needs you to be satisfied with who he's making you to be. See, you will never be successful being like Sally Sue. Why? Because Sally Sue's the only one that can be Sally Sue. You be you. You be you. And it says, I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. The only thing that you have to say to your critics, and you don't even really got to say it because it stands alone. When God tells you to do something, when God calls you, when God shows you what he's going to do, you really don't got to answer them critics. But if you get a little bit like me, sometimes you just kind of, you want to say something. Look here, God's going to give us success. It don't matter what you think. It don't matter how things look. God's given us the success. That's all we need. That's all the validation that we need. So you don't got to have every single thing validated so you can feel good about yourself. God validates you. God justifies you, and God defends you. You don't have to sit in that place where you're chasing your tail and you feel like every time you turn around, you got to answer all your critics. You don't. You got to stand on what God told you he would do. Critics are going to come, and let me tell you something, baby, critics are going to go because God won't allow them to stand in your path for very long. And it says, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, see, as for you three chumps, here's how it really is. So you don't think that God gave the children of God authority to call people out on their stuff? Yes, he does. You just can't get up in error and fleshy when you're doing that. Can't do it unless God says, I'm going to say this and I'm going to make those words come to pass. And so they said, we his servants will start rebuilding, but as for you three that have liked to ridicule us and make fun of us and make us look bad, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim to the historical right to it. You got no, this, what's happening on up in here, the rebuilding that God has called us to do, you ain't got nothing to do with that. You on the out. Look here, there's people in your life that are ridiculing you, that are talking bad about you. You got to know what part of that circle they on. And look here, when you realize they on the out, see, ain't everybody got the vision that God's giving you. Don't waste your time trying to talk people up into believing what God's done told you he would do. Shelly, some people just ain't going to ever believe the things that God wants to do. And that's okay. It's okay. You don't got to waste your breath trying to get them to believe in what God's told you he's going to do. Their belief in it doesn't matter one bit. Don't matter. See, and what happened there? All of Nehemiah chapter 3, all of it, every word of it, everybody that God called and that he placed, they began to build different sections. That's what you see. You want to see something powerful? You look in the book of Nehemiah where the men and women of God said, hey, we're going to rebuild this thing, not for all glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. And they began to each one take their part, and they just began to build. Look here, Brother Donnie, here's what God showed me. Kelly, you take the pillars out of Satan's kingdom, and you get them out of that pit of hell, and you put them on the wall of who I am. You build with the people that you're snatching out of the pit of hell. See, Kelly, look here, Donnie, it's not an accident that you had your previous life, and then on Christmas you playing Santa Claus. See, God's done taking you out of the kingdom of Satan, and he's putting you in the kingdom of God. And you look here, the devil don't like it. Devil don't like that stuff. You know what we do? We build our part. We build our part. Why? Because it don't matter who, what the devil likes. The devil ain't gonna like pillars out of his kingdom being brought over to the kingdom of God. You don't think that that Bain Center cost something? I'm not talking about money here. I'm not talking about money here. Look here. There was a great sacrifice to put a dent in the pit of Logan County of what that nasty thing used to represent. What did that represent? That represented drugs, alcohol, all sorts of wickedness. Little girls would go over there to sell their body for one hit. Let me tell you something. You think that it wasn't a sacrifice on the ministry to put that dent in Satan's kingdom? It was. And I'm going to tell you something. sharing, it's only a portion of what God wants to do. It's only a portion. But God needs women and men to say, you know what? God, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to build my part. I'm going to build my part. Because look here, God's got things for Logan County. God's got things for Logan County. And God's got things for this church that we ain't even dreamed about. What I'm asking you to do, I'm making a press for everything that you stand for. I'm asking you today, help me build it. Help God build it. See? This church is fixing to get bigger. Why? Because it's time. There's a time and a season for everything. See these two people over here? They put in grunt work that you'll never understand. They put in heartache, blood, sweat, and tears that you'll never understand. And we've had blessed people to be with us the whole time. How do you end a service like this? By this right here. If you're sitting there in your seat and you're saying, God, I want to be a part of the rebuilding that you're going to use Paris Christian Center to do. God, I want to be a part of that. God, help me to get these things in my life, God, that's holding me up. See, you think because you made a mistake you can't build, baby? You're probably more qualified to build than anybody else. If you're sitting there and you're saying, God, help me because I want to be a part of that. God, help me to get it to where I don't feel bad about things that I've done. God, help me. Guide me, God. See, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm asking you to be open to God giving you a vision, because look here. When you look at Nehemiah chapter 3, what you see is each individual family building that part. See, it ain't just about the pastor. Has very little to do with the pastor. All Jeremy and I are, we're the suckers on the front saying, come on everybody, let's go. We're just the ones in the front. And when we look behind us, we want to see all of y'all. Now, if you wanting to do that this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand, because see, there's places God is saying, look here, where they were held back, I'm going to accelerate them because they want to be a part of some things, because they want to be a part of something that's bigger than who they are. See, you've been held up too long thinking that God can't use you or God can't whatever because of whatever. It's not the truth. I'm the biggest moron that I know, and God's used me quite a bit when I yield to Him. Amen? Now, this is a moment of power right here. This is a moment where, look here, where you lack, we don't have everything that we need to get everything done. That's where God comes in. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands, see here, because God's about to move. God's about to move in this place. God knows your limitations, and God ain't messed up about them. He just wants the right and the permission to come on up in here and give you what you don't got. God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every single person. God, I thank you for what you've got in this county. God, every surrounding county. God, I thank you for the part that each family, God, that's represented here today, God is going to do. Lord, I thank you, God, that you give them the supernatural ability to begin to build up your kingdom. God, I thank you that you put people in their pathway, God, and they're hurting and they're messed up. And God, you use each one of us to snatch up those people, God, and to put them in your kingdom, God, to get them saved. Lord, to minister to them, God. And Lord, we thank you for it. God, I thank you for everything that you're doing in this place. God, I thank you right now for the families that are being added. I speak to the hindrances right now. And in Jesus' name, I bind you up. I thank you, God, that every hindrance is gone off of people that, God, that you have for this place. God, I thank you for the piano player. God, I thank you for the drum player. God, I thank you for the bass player. God, I thank you for more singers. God, I thank you, God. And right now, I stand on your word of what you said you would do, God. And thank you for everything, Lord, that you've done in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.